Welcome to the Linked Up Church Podcast. We are passionate about connecting people to God, family, purpose, and community. Today, Pastor Joel Gregory comes with a third installment of his life-changing series entitled God's Plan. Get your pen and your pad ready, and let's go into the worship center and hear what God has for us today.
We're going to continue today with part three of God's Plan. And so I owe you all some minutes, so I'm going to try to be very skillful. I went over really the last 2 weeks to get everything in that I needed to get in. And so my job today is to be a little bit more skillful, get you all out on time, unless you say, take your time, Pastor. If you say, keep going, Pastor, it is, don't do that. Don't do that. No. All right. And so let's get right into this today. I'm excited. You know, every time I study the word, I realize how much I don't know. And it just makes you chase harder, right? It's like, man, how did I see that way? And again, I'm thankful for my mentor. Man, may he just continue to rest in peace. Just Apostle Frederick K.C. Price. I just honor him today, honor his presence. Now, I just remember all the things he said to me. And one of the things was, you know, if you want to be popular, you'll reach a few people. But if you want to reach the masses, you have to be accurate. And then he said this, and sometimes being accurate won't make you popular. And when I think about his body of work, see, we have a tendency to look at people towards the end of their lives. And we forget about the entire body of work. All right? It's like in a marriage. You can be married, you know, 30 years, right? And then something's going on right now. You forget about the whole body of work. Right? And we want to hold a person in prison for today, and we forget about the 29 great years that we had together. And we miss stuff like that, right? And so what I want to do is celebrate his body of work and the global impact that that man had. And it just changed me. And I realized that a lot of what I ministered for many years was what I heard other people minister. Y'all don't mind me being transparent for a moment, right? Which means I wouldn't necessarily do a deep dive on my own. I would just trust what somebody else told me. And there's some, you know, there's a place for that while you're growing. But then there's a place where God requires you to know and understand things that he's revealing to you. And then don't be afraid to share those. And so you have an outline today. And, of course, you can follow along, linked up church app, YouVersion Bible app. But take some notes today because I'm going to give you more than what's in that outline. Okay, so let's get into this today. God's plan. We know it's always good to have a plan, right? We've all heard over the course of our lives, if you fail to plan, then you what? You plan to fail, right? So God has a plan, and we've been learning that his plan involves a very special man. What's that man's name?
Jesus.
Right? And this plan goes back longer than any of us may think. And so we've been understanding and looking at that plan from the beginning. But now we're kind of transitioning to looking at the really big picture to see that this plan was in place, listen very carefully, before the foundation of the world. Right? And so the plan that we understand is based off of what we can read. Right? So we would automatically assume it started in the book of Genesis. I mean, when you study the Bible, then God will reveal things to you beyond what you actually can only see with your eyes. And then he'll continue to support that in the scriptures. And so we've looked at, number one, God's plan. We learned that it started from the beginning. Cannot go back through all of that. Number two, God's plan. We learned that love was here before the foundation of the world. And that makes sense to us, right? Because love is what motivated God to create the world for all of his children to enjoy. And so the first instance, or this phrase, the foundation of the world, was spoken three times in scriptures. Now, in order to form doctrine, you have to see something at least two to three times in scripture, right? And so we can form doctrine off of everything that you're hearing, that you've heard, and you will continue to hear. And so the first time was last week. We looked at John 17, 24, and it was spoken by Jesus. Today, we're going to look at Paul's account of that, and then we'll begin to build. So let's go right to point number three, and let's look at God's plan. He chose us before the foundation of the world. Somebody say, he chose me.
He chose me.
before he ever created the world? Can you believe that? That God was thinking about you over 2,000 years ago. 6,000 years ago. Because God's always been here. And all of this will make sense to you in a moment. So that means if you're here, you're here on purpose. Now, how many of your parents may have made a mistake, but it doesn't change his plan for your life. Right? We can all say, well, I don't know, but no, I'm telling you, if you got here, you're part of his plan. Even if you were adopted, I don't care what your background is. If you got here, you were meant to be here. Somebody thank God for just getting here. Come on, you can do better than that. Come on, thank God for just getting here. All right, let's pick up at Ephesians chapter 1, and let's begin at verse 3. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. The other thing that Apostle Price would share with me was that, you know, be careful bouncing around in the scripture, right? And stay in context, right? And so remember, the book of Ephesians is one letter. Man put chapter and verse in there to help us get to places faster. But it's really one continuous letter. So if it's talking about something in chapter one, the answer to it is probably somewhere else in that entire book. You don't really have to travel anywhere else to get the revelation of what he's trying to reveal to you from what you're reading, okay? So that's what we're going to do today. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 1. Let's begin at verse 6. Are you ready? All right, let's begin at verse 6. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." So right away, he opens up, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." So when we bless or praise God, we recognize and attribute to him his true worth, right? And so how many of y'all know, all of us worship what we value, right? I can remember when I bought my first car. It was a Mustang GT, right? First car. How many of y'all know that if it rained, anybody here know what I'm talking about? Soon as the sun came out, I backed that thing right back out and wash it, clean it up, because we worship what we value, right? Anybody ever just got a pair of shoes that you always wanted? How many times did you go in there and look at those shoes? Am I the only one that's done stuff like that? So in other words, we worship what we value. We praise, right, what we believe has attributed some type of value to our lives. And so let me try that again, because nobody responded. So when we bless or praise God, we recognize and attribute to him his true worth. So Paul started out in verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." So is that the level that you value him at? Right? Come on, let's take 10 seconds to just bless his holy name. Go ahead, bless him. Bless him real good. Come on, I'm talking about bless him real, real good. God, you are awesome and wonderful and mighty and majestic in all of your ways. God, there is absolutely nobody like you. And I love you today. And so he said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Watch this now. Who has blessed us? And so I want to shift our thinking a little bit today. Stop asking God to bless you. He's already blessed you. Right? And then from that, you'll begin to declare from what you already believe about yourself. Right? And so he said, "Who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places," where at? In Christ. Now, something I want to throw out is nowhere in anything I'm getting ready to say is he talking about material things. So somehow we got this word inheritance to mean money, cars, and clothes. And that is not your greatest inheritance. I don't think that's what he's thinking about ever when he's dealing with us. Right? Because how many of us, if we get the spiritual right, guess what's getting ready to follow that? All the natural stuff is going to follow that. All right? So watch this. Now, so who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in who? So then we are blessed in Christ, not in ourselves. Did you all catch that? So now I want you to look at the level of blessings that are in your life, and it'll show you the level you're at in Christ. See, I knew you all wouldn't be ready for this. So if you want to come up, right, you got to come up in Christ first. Stop chasing the stuff and chase Christ. I want to be more intimate. I want to grow in my relationship with God. I want to learn more about who you are and what your role is in my life and how you want me to live. And when I come up in him, how many know he brings everything else up in my life? All right, stay with me now, right? So all of this is in Christ, not in us. So just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Now, I don't know about you all, but it always feels good to be chosen. See, I knew my wife wanted me before. I could tell by the way she was looking at me. I was like, boy, if I get over there to her and have a conversation, it's over. But she was so wise. She said, no, a man finds a wife. So she didn't come say anything to me first. She waited until I came and said something to her. That's a little nugget for somebody out here. Let me try this out. I said, that's a little nugget for somebody out here. Right? And so then I choose her, but I also can tell she's reciprocating that. I mean, that's one of the greatest feelings in the world right there, right? To know that you want someone and someone wants you. And folks, I'm about to blow your mind. The scripture's about to blow your mind. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Man, I don't know about you, boy. That right there make me run a lap right there. So before he made water, earth, sun, moon, stars, he had me on his mind. Come on, somebody. He had you on his mind. Somebody ought to give yourself a big hug right now and say, it feels so good to be chosen. So just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Now, I want you all to keep your shout on here now. So Paul emphasizes that God chose us, watch this, to make the point that salvation depends totally on God, not you. And this how you know it's not by faith, it's by grace. Because if it's by faith, it's something you did. That makes it works. But if it's something he did, that makes it grace. Watch this. We love him because he first. Somebody ought to just give God a good praise right there, right? Now, what's faith's role in that whole process? Faith has to respond to what God has already done for. Everybody clear? Key language there is already done. That's why he said he has blessed you with all spiritual blessings. So instead of us trying to get something, we need to respond to what he's already done. And that's a difference, right? Let's keep traveling. So now, let me read the rest of this in my note here. So we're saved not because we deserve it, but because God graciously and freely gives us salvation. So our wisdom or good behavior does not influence God's decision to save us. So in his mercy, he decided to save us according to his plan. Now that is interesting to me because I lived 22 years of my life not knowing anything about this plan. Which means he loved me when I was unlovable. This is a good parenting tip for me. He put things in place because he believed I would eventually come into this revelation. So sometimes, you know, as parents, we only see what they're doing and not what they're becoming. God didn't deal with us based off of what we were doing. He can only deal with us based off of what he knew we would become. So therefore, we can never take credit for our salvation or take pride in making the right decision. So this is the great mystery of salvation, is that it originated in the timeless mind of God before we ever existed. So now, what is his plan for our lives? That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now, let's think about this for a moment. I don't know about you all, but he wouldn't have been pleased with me this week. Oh, Lord. It's all kind of thoughts went through my head. Come on, somebody. I'm talking about none of us. It's no way we can do this on our own. So he said, I've got a plan. I'm going to send my only begotten son. Right? Right? To pay a price that they couldn't pay for themselves. Best way I can describe it to you. Let me build this. You went out and you purchased a car that you couldn't afford. And you made the payments on it best you could. And then the bank decided to put a lien on that vehicle. Right? Take you to court for repossession. So the judgment is clear. You agreed to make payments on this vehicle for 60 months and you defaulted on those payments. You're wrong. Right or wrong? Guilty, right? Most of us can accept that. I didn't make the payments, right? So now you're at the court hearing, the proceedings, right? And imagine the judge goes in the back. He renders a guilty verdict, right? You're going to lose the vehicle. But then he goes in the back and he says and he thinks to himself, but you know what? I'm going to go ahead and pay the bill. Even though they're guilty, they deserve everything that they have coming for them. I'm going to come back out and say, your bill has been paid. You now own the car in full. Go ahead and take off. See, all of us deserve a guilty verdict. But he sent his son to pay our price. Come on, somebody ought to lift their hands and thank God for that right now. That to me, that is mind-blowing to me. So his plan for our lives is that we would be holy and blameless, watch this, before him in love. The only way we can do that is to be in his son. See, because if he looked at us based off of who we are, he might have canceled this plan. Anybody in here willing to be honest? Right? But he's not looking at us based off of who we are. He's looking at us through his son and that blood that he shed on our behalf. Having predestined us to the adoption as sons by Jesus Christ, this word predestined is important, to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. So that God decided to, in advance, to adopt us is another way of saying that salvation is God's work and not our own doing. So in his infinite love, God has adopted us as his own children. So through Jesus' sacrifice, he brought us into his family and made us heirs along with Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know about you all. That's not fair, but I'll take it. I'll take it 7 days out of the week, right? So I need you to understand, when you think about adoption, right, it's not that the children get to choose their parents. The parents choose the children. And it's a process. It's a 7-step process, right? They have to be evaluated. They have to come into their home. They have to make sure that it's a good fit for the children as well as the parents who want to adopt them. But the idea I want you to get is that the parents chose the child that they wanted, or children that they wanted. You're not here by accident. God chose you to be here. I don't know about you. I have a lot of places I could be right now. But when I think about I have a mind to be in church, come on, somebody. on a Sunday morning? Come on, somebody. That's a lot of stuff I could have done last night that would have made me miss church this morning. But I had a mind to go to sleep last night so I could get up early and be here on time. How many know that's God gracing me, right? That's God's presence on my life. There's a lot of stuff I could have did last week, but I didn't do those things because of this recognition that God chose me for something better. And I'm grateful for that today. Anybody else grateful for that today? Now pull up Romans chapter 8, verse 17. It's not in your notes out of the New King James Version. It's not in your notes. Follow along. You're going to need to write that down because sometimes this is hard to believe when someone's just saying it. Watch this. Romans 8, 17 says, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and what? Joint heirs with who? That means everything that belongs to Christ belongs to me. Come on, I really need you to elevate your thinking right now. Come on, somebody say, God's getting ready to give me an upgrade. Come on, say, God's getting ready to elevate me. Come on, type that in online. Say, God's giving me an upgrade. And if children, then heirs. Romans 8, 17. And if children, then heirs. And if children, then heirs. And if children, then heirs. Do you think Jeff Bezos' kids are thinking about anything other than just enjoying life? And God is bigger than Jeff Bezos, greater than Jeff Bezos, has more money than Jeff Bezos. Okay? So then if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Now, it's going to take faith for you to hear everything else I'm going to say today. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So you'll never be greater than your teacher. All right? So that means all of us are going to have to go through stuff in life to identify with our Savior. With the understanding that just like God raised him up, he's going to raise us up also. So whatever you're going through right now, I just want you to say these words. This too shall pass. Do you believe that today? Yeah. Come on, say it in faith today. Say, this too shall pass. Say, I will be raised up out of this situation. I believe that. By faith. Now. Now go ahead and thank God in advance for it. Come on, go ahead and thank God in advance for it. All right? So he did this on purpose and for his own pleasure. Look at Luke 12:32, New King James Version, right? It's not in your notes, so follow along. Look at what Luke 12:32 says. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to do what? It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now, here's where we've made a mistake. You know what we think the kingdom is? Money, clothes, and cars. The kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So church has trained us to chase the material and not the spiritual. Can we keep going today? Yeah. So therefore, we turned the world off. They didn't want any parts of us because they didn't see any substance in here. They just saw the same that they were seeing out there. But they came here for spiritual. And we showed them material. And we talked about material. And we talked about what we have. And we talked about what we drive. And we measured our spirituality based off of the material things that we had. When God doesn't measure it that way. I told you, I know I won't be popular, but I will be accurate. Come on, can we give God a real good praise in this place today? All right, let's keep going now. Man, we haven't even got out of Ephesians chapter 1, right? Oh, say it again. Well, say it again. Take your time. I'm going to run this one right into the 11 o'clock service this morning. We're going to have one big service today. All right, let's keep going. So he predestined us to the adoption of sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Watch this now. To the praise of the glory of his grace, not faith, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Let's keep going. I'm going to come back to that. Remember that thought. This phrase, in heavenly places, means something. Now, we spend our whole lives living a natural life on a natural realm. And when we get saved, he actually elevated us up to his level. So what we try to do is bring God down to where we're at. What God's trying to do is bring us up to where he's at. Everybody understand the difference? All right, so let's talk about that a little bit. Let's get into that. That phrase in verse 3 there, in heavenly places, means something. Now let's travel a little bit. Let's go down to the 16th verse and look at what Paul is praying for the church at Ephesus here. Let's drop down to verse 16 and let's look at what Paul is praying. Look at what he says here. I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Now let's go real slow. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, look at what he's praying for them, may give unto you two things here, the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Wisdom is this Greek word, Sophia. So he's talking about something higher. Remember, we need to come up to where he's at. So Paul is praying that God would give them a spirit of wisdom, the ability to apply what they learn from the word of God. Revelation is something revealed. So Paul is praying that when you spend time in the word and you get wisdom from the word, that God will begin to reveal things to you individually from that word. Everybody clear? Watch this. But guess where it all comes from? Look at what he prayed here. That God would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, not the world. So let's make this as simple as we possibly can. The more time I spend with him through his word, the more wisdom I'll have. Is that safe to say? Yes. See, when you don't know how to do something, it's not because God doesn't want you to. It hasn't been revealed to you yet. So then my answer should be, I need to go spend more time in the word so I can get more wisdom. So something can be revealed to me, right? But his whole heart is that you would get a better understanding of him. So what he's after is intimacy and a better relationship. And God is saying the more intimate you are, the more I'll show you. So we want all the secrets without any relationship. I mean, you ain't going to walk in a whole lot of wisdom and all you're hearing is the word of God on Sunday coming out of somebody else's mouth. And remember this, there's no way you can live off of what I understand. Are you all still with me out there? I mean, y'all still glad you came to church today. Let's go a little further with this now. So. Wisdom, revelation, and the knowledge of him. Then he drops it a little further. He says, so that the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened. So let's go real slow, right? Let's not take any of this out of context, right? So the more time we spend with him, right, the more wisdom we're going to have. The more wisdom we have, the more he reveals to us, right? What happens is the more wisdom and things that are revealed to us, it begins to flood our heart with understanding. And now you have something called an aha moment where you say, I know what to do. Anybody ever been there before? Come on, anybody ever been there before? It's amazing. My wife will tell you, we've been praying about something for a couple of years. We didn't know how to do it. And it's related to the expansion of this church. Because at the end of the day, I was only dealing with it on my human level. What I understand, what I know, what my experience tells me I can do. I went back to this. Come on, somebody. and began letting him show me through meditating on the word, right? Then wisdom drop. I share that wisdom with my wife, with the team. It resonates. Then he reveals more. Because, I mean, if you keep studying, you get more understanding. Then what happens is he floods your heart and you get full of where he's leading you. Y'all are, oh. Then it becomes so crystal clear because your heart has now been flooded with understanding about what you're supposed to do. So the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, watch this, so that you may know what is the hope of your calling. See, that's the way I prayed that for 20 years. That you would know what is the hope of your calling. That's not what he said. See, 20 years. When I prayed the Ephesians prayer, I was praying for my calling. Not his calling. And I'm praying it too, fervently. Anybody here know what I'm talking about? All right, so then his calling is going to be in context of everything that we've been reading and will read. All right, his calling for your life is that you would be holy and without blame. His calling for your life is that you would receive the adoption that he already prearranged for you through his son. His calling for your life is that you'd walk in all the fruits of the Spirit. Come on, somebody. His calling for your life is that you would have joy, peace, and righteousness. Come on, somebody. That's his calling for your life. Now, how many know when we address his calling, we find our calling? Oh. Right? And it lines up with Scripture, right? Romans chapter 12, verse 1, right? First thing you got to do is conform and transform so that you can know what the will of God is for your life. We want the will of God without transformation. I'm trying to find out what the will of God is for my life. Stop cussing. Get out of that unhealthy relationship. Come on, somebody. Grow closer to God. Come on, somebody. And then when transformation takes place, all the rest of that stuff can happen in your life. Because he already said, are you all following me today? He already said it's his pleasure to give you the kingdom. But are you going to give your 12-year-old a car that they're not ready to drive? See, so again, when I come up in him, everything else in my life comes up. So if I want to see where I'm at. See, we're measuring it by our bank accounts. He's measuring it by the fruit of the Spirit. You saying I need 9 digits in my bank account. He's saying I need you to walk in all 9 fruits of the Spirit. Come on, church. Don't leave me out here by myself. You walk in the 9, you listen, you'll have 12 digits in your bank account. Because you're just going to have more wisdom and be smarter than anybody else you come in contact with. I'm going to show this to you today. Can we keep traveling? All right, let's keep going. Where did I leave off at? Verse 19. So whose calling are we talking about? What have we been praying for all these years? Did anybody catch that? I even wrote it in there, what I thought it was. This ain't about me. This is about him. See how selfish we can be even in our prayer lives? See how we don't read the Bible? I was guilty too. I just trusted what I heard. So that the eyes of our understanding will be enlightened, that we'll know what the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Now, Now watch this. You ready for this one? I thought that meant my inheritance. So I was praying for my inheritance. That's not what he's talking about here. It's his inheritance. And you know what his inheritance is? More saints. Point to your neighbor and say, you are his inheritance. You know how you make God rich? Give him more souls. You know what I was praying for 20 years? For my inheritance. Oh, selfish. See, you see what it said? This is what Paul is praying for them, right? Right? Called riches of the glory is his inheritance. The saints are his inheritance. He wants more family. He wants heaven full. Am I the only one? How many of y'all were taught the Ephesians prayer? Raise your hand if you were taught the Ephesians prayer. How many of y'all were praying for your inheritance? Don't lie in church now. Don't lie. I'll call you out. Don't try to be deep now. Don't try to be deep. Raise your hand. I told you I was praying that. I was praying for my calling and my inheritance. I wasn't praying for souls right there. All right, can we go a little further? Saying, what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, his dunamis, his miraculous ability, which he wrought in Christ when he what? Raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand or at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. Now, let's go real slow with that. Which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. So the same power he used to raise Christ from the grave is the power he used to save us. Everyone can see that, right? And then he says here, and then he seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. All right? So where is Christ right now? Is he standing up? So if he's in a seated position, what does that mean? He's finished. And we still do it, Jesus. Get him, Jesus. And he's saying, no, you get him. I already did my part. You do your part. Now, this is getting ready to blow your mind when I get to this next verse, because remember, it all marries. It's all in context, right? So he says here, which he wrought in Christ, far above all principality, power, mind. Those are classes of demonic spirits, right? And in Jewish culture, it was believed that they ruled over entire nations, countries, right? States, regions, right? And what God is saying here is that I gave him a name that's over all of that. Right? Not only in this age, world, is what that means, but also in the world to come. Okay, now let's go over to the second chapter. Are you all still following me today? I think in your notes it starts at verse 4, right? Is that what it says in your outline? Right, let's back up to verse 1 so we can understand verse 4 a little better. All right, so look at verse 1. It says, and you he made alive. Yep, that word there means quicken. So that means our spirits were once dead, right? But when we received Christ, his spirit came to live on the inside of our spirit and quickened us and made us alive. All right, so now, and you have he quickened, watch this now, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Now, what is that talking about? So immediately after this prayer, Paul reminds the Ephesians of the reality of personal sin, right? So like them, we must never forget our past, right? And the conditions from which God saved us. Those memories, though sometimes painful, will inspire us to thank Christ for all that he's done for us. So it's something about going back and remembering where you came from that helps you be a little bit more grateful where you are today. Now let me just make that plain, because the context there is we were dead in our trespasses, right? And so if you were like me, I didn't even start getting ready to go out till 11 o'clock at night. I'm taking a nap during the daytime. Oh, Jesus. I'm taking a nap because I'm getting ready to be out all night. Right? Especially in college, right? This is when all of this was taking place. They would come by my dorm and they, are you thinking or drinking tonight? Which one? You thinking or you drinking? Come on, Minister Johnny know what I'm talking about, because he was a Kappa. And then he right over to the Union with his little cane. He twirling it. Come on, am I right or wrong, Minister Johnny? Ain't thinking about Jesus. Dead in his trespasses. Come on, am I the only one out here? Come on, some of y'all were just, I'm talking about, you were so far gone, couldn't nobody talk to you. Somebody say, can I pray for you? No, I don't need no prayers right now. I need something to dress. Some of us were so far gone. Oh, y'all didn't know I could do that. Is that what y'all still laughing at? Or is that what he laughing at over there? So I want you to think about where you were. And now where God's graced you to be. Man, I'm telling you, it should have been a different kind of response. I want you to take a moment to think about where you were. Come on, and now where God has graced you to be. Come on, man. Somebody said, I want you to think about where you were. And now where God has graced you to be. Boy, God is good, man. God is good. Now, remember what we just read in Ephesians chapter 1, right? Remember I told you those were four different classes of demonic forces, right? Now, watch what he says here. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Watch this. Which you once walked according to the course of this world. Watch this. According to the prince of the power of the air. So guess who's the chief prince of all of those demonic forces? Satan. Somebody said Jesus. No, Satan. She's just excited over there. That's all. She just following so strong. She like, Jesus. Jesus. He all over me right now. So you see how in context you can see what he was talking about in chapter 1, right? Right? So according to the prince of the power of the air, watch this. The spirit who now works, listen to what he says, in the sons or children of disobedience. So when you have a saved person who still lives like the world, that's the spirit that's controlling them. So a lot of times parents, husbands, wives, we're trying to get them to change without dealing with the spirit that's influencing them behind them. So notice, Paul didn't argue, Paul prayed. And he dealt with the spirit behind what was influencing them. So we've got to learn how to love the people, even when they're wrong, and pray against the spirit that's influencing them. That's why Paul said that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened. You still with me out there? All right, what you want, information or entertainment? All right, let's keep going. Now, what prince of the power of the air, right? Who spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Watch this. Of whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just like others. So translation, stop looking down at other people because you came from some of the same stuff. Let me try this out of the room. Stop looking down on other people because you came from some of the same stuff. Come on, somebody. And the same God that graced you to be where you are today is the same God that can grace them to get even further and go beyond where you are today. Church has been too judgmental, trying to act like it is something that it truly is not. And the world is tired of that. The world doesn't want to hear any more of that. The world wants to be loved and not judged. That's why they don't want to come in here. Two of the greatest words in the Bible is in verse 4, but God. Somebody right there just ought to, come on, I'm talking about but God. Come on, somebody, because that's all of our stories right there. But God. I don't even want to think about where I might be right now, but God. If God hadn't saved me when he saved me, I don't even want to begin to try to wrap my mind around what my life would have, how it would have turned out. But God. But God. That's the only reason I'm here today. But God. It's the only reason I'm here today. But God. I showed my wife a statistics a couple of months ago where African-American males, you give yourself a 70% chance of a longer life expectancy if you're not out after 11 o'clock. When 70%. And listen to what I told you. I didn't even leave the house until 11. Getting my mind right to go out there. Trying to help you, young fella, before you leave to go to college. You don't have to make all these mistakes, glory to God. You all want a little bit more? You sure? Are you learning anything today? All right, watch this now. But God, who is what? Rich in judgment. What is he rich in? What is he rich in? He's rich in not giving you what you deserve. Because of his great love, you see that? With which he loved us. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. Watch this. Here it is. By faith you have been saved. What does it say? Grace. By what? Grace. By what? Grace. How many years did I think it was by faith? And I'm not, trust me, I'm a faith man. I am not minimizing faith at all. But if I put all my stock in that, then it's based off of what I did. So guess what my language becomes? I did this. I got saved. I pray. I do this. I serve. I do all this. Instead of God save me, and my response to that it's such a privilege to serve in his kingdom. And et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So by grace, you have been what? And raised up together. Watch out now. And he made us sit together in the heavenly places. Where at? So that means we are right where he is. Now, let's go back. So this means we can live at a dimension that's higher than the one we're living at right now. But we got to go all the way back into chapter 1 to understand that. Right? Which means if we spend enough time with him and in his word, transformation, mind gets renewed, wisdom comes. Once that wisdom comes, things begin to be revealed to us. Right? And now the more we meditate on that, the more we spend, he floods our heart with understanding. Light just enters into our heart. And what it does is it elevates us up to his level. And gets us out of our level. Now we see that same situation from his perspective instead of our perspective. Our perspective might go at it with our mouths in the wrong way and do the wrong thing. His perspective is going to say, bless them because they did you that way. Love them through it. Be patient with them and long-suffering just like I've been with you.
but I can't get that if I don't do what I just described. It's time for us to live on the Jesus level and get off of our level, right? If you still cussing at people who crossed you and cut in front of you, you need to be elevated, because that's a waste of your time and your energy. Slow that car down and say, go ahead on and do what you need to do, right? And there's a bumper sticker out there that just blesses me every time I see it. It says something to the effect of, something, go ahead and speed by me. I'll catch you at the next light. Have you all seen that one? Have you seen that? Every time I see that? Because sometimes we all get a little, come on, let's be honest, right? We just out there, just, car just traveled along 40 miles an hour, right? We did all of that, get to the light, and then they just pull up nice and smooth, right on the side of you, right? And then here we go again, right, boom, 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 in and out of traffic, get to the next light, and then they just over there, just smooth. Anybody here know what I'm talking about? Right? Man, this is so good, but I gotta stop. For by grace. Say it again. Say, take your time. I said I was going to run it into the 11 o'clock service. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to close right here. Because how many know we got time? Time is our friend. Did y'all get anything out of this today? All right. So I want you to think about it. So this is helping me as a parent, right? Because God was so patient with me while I was dead in my trespasses. As parents, we deal with our children based off of their trespasses, who they are and not what we see them becoming. And we chase them away, and he didn't treat us that way. In my marriage, this just helps me. As a pastor, this just helps me to look at everyone the way he looked at me. And give everybody time to be what he's calling them to be. Just like he gave me time to be what he's calling me to be. Everybody clear on that? So that means I can know you're 100% wrong and not even look at you after that. And only see when you're at his level. You see you the way he sees you and treat you that way. How many of us human beings living at a human level, that's difficult for us to do? That's why, can I say this? The only way for us to live this is to come up to his level and stop trying to make him have a human experience. And we need to come up to his level so that we can have a God experience. I'm going to close. Let's all stand to our feet. Praise God. Praise God. Let's lift our hands to the Father today. Ah, man, so much I still could have said. Just thank God for his great love for you today. Just lift your hands and just thank the Father for his great love for you today. And that he chose you before the foundation of the world. You know, sometimes it's hard for us to fathom. You know, it's easy for me to believe he can choose them. But man, he chose me. So if you're already saved in this room today, you ought to be so grateful, man, that while you were dead in your trespasses, he saved you. But if you're not saved in this room, that is the only reason, or if you're watching online, that is why you're here today. You didn't get here by accident. You are here on purpose. Just so that you can hear how much God loves you And he is not dealing with you based off of anything that you've done wrong in your life. He's only dealing with you based off of this decision right here and how he wants to see you in his son. So if you're here today and you're not saved, you don't have a personal relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ, please allow me to pray with and for you today. Allow him to adopt you into his family. I don't know what your background is. I grew up without a father, man, and God has been more than a father to me in my life. I don't know what your background is, but God has, man, been my everything since I became a part of his family.
Praise God. I trust that this message has touched your heart today. Listen, we don't claim to have all the answers, but we do know one answer. And his name is Jesus Christ. So if you don't have a personal relationship with him today, we want to invite you to do so. Or maybe you had one with him, but you've just gotten away and you're desiring to come back to Christ today. I want to lead you in a simple prayer today. If you would, repeat this after me. Put your hand over your heart and say these words. Say, "Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that he died, rose from the grave, and he is alive right now. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me now. As a result of what I've confessed with my mouth and what I believe in my heart, I am right now born again and in right standing with God. In Jesus' name." Praise God. We are so excited for you. We believe that today is the first day of the rest of your life. Congratulations. We are so excited that you made the decision to get connected to God.
Thank you for listening today. If this message encouraged or inspired you in any way, please subscribe to us on your favorite podcast app and leave a review too. For past messages, updates, and more, please visit us at linkedupchurch.com or download the Linked Up Church app. You can also watch live services, view past messages, and see our dynamic content for children, youth, and teens on our Facebook and YouTube pages. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Linked Up Church. And if you would like to support more of what we're doing, you can give online at linkedupchurch.com or text Get Connected to 94000. Thanks again for listening. Have an amazing week, and we look forward to connecting with you.